It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. And thank you, Ryan Burrow. Wednesdays, every other Wednesday, Dr. John Duffy comes in. He's a clinical psychologist, a great author. The book is called The Available Parent. And I am intrigued by your podcast, which you can find at WGNplus.com and also on your website, drjohnduffy.com.
Correct.
Hello, sir.
Hello. Thanks for having me, guys.
John, always a pleasure to have you. We have a very specific topic about kids going back to school. But before we get into that, there was a major story over the last week or so. Wendy and I discussed it several times, and I just want to get your take on it. That's the Ryan Lochte story where he made up an alleged incident.
He embellished.
He embellished.
I heard a little bit about
some
this.
Some might say he lied.
Right.
All right. My question is this, and Wendy and I discussed this at great lengths the other day, but without you here. I think that this is what the professionals like to call a teachable moment about how a lie can snowball and in this particular instance cost this guy millions and millions of dollars in endorsements just because he decided he thought he could get away with a lie. What do you think?
I agree entirely. You know, there are a lot of people who might take a different tack on that and make fun of him, which a lot of people are doing. It's happening in a lot of households. It's happening in a lot of media.
We did that too, by the way.
We did too.
Yeah.
But I think more importantly, it is a teachable moment. You know, a lot of kids think that there is very little repercussions to a little white lie. But in fact, this is a really telling story. The repercussions of what he did were enormous and something that he probably didn't predict at all at the time. And
yeah.
So, you know, like I worked with a girl this week who had told her mother a little white lie about where she was going to be later that evening. And this snowballed into a disaster for the family. So, you know, we actually talked about, you know,
sure.
You're Ryan Lochte this week, you know,
yeah, right.
and so
right.
You have the opportunity to repair that, but avoiding the opportunity for the teachable moment is a mistake. I think you want to take opportunities as often as they come. And this one couldn't be more glaring.
Sure.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong to saying to your child, hey, we all, to some extent, will embellish the truth from time to time and even lie from time to time. But in this particular instance, this shows you clear cut that this guy's career is now tarnished forever because
right.
of this.
Right. Because of this one moment. And
yeah.
if he were just impeccable with the truth, even if it were mortifying, he might have a way more opportunity on his
sure.
hands. Right.
Yep, that
yeah.
makes sense.
No.
I had a similar moment. My son Michael started his senior year, and over the, I think last week, both boys were looking through one of the junk drawers and found their baby books. And Michael said, I found my baby book, and I kind of got really sad. And I said, what about Dylan? He goes, Dylan's book was empty because
oh.
he's the second kid.
Yeah.
And I said, was Dylan sad about that? He goes, no, not really, but I'm sad. And then you texted me about my college essays, and I'm not ready to be an adult.
Yeah.
That's what he said to me. And I said, you know what? Being an adult can be fun, but when you make a mistake, there are more serious consequences. It's not life or death,
right?
But there are going to be bigger consequences now that you're an adult. No one really wants to get there, but it's fun.
It's
just more pressure.
There's all these positives. You know, it's so funny you bring that up, Wendy. I'm hearing that more and more from kids in the last few years, this resistance to being an adult. And I think a lot of it has to do with, like, boy, everything I do has so much more weight to it, you know? Forgetting that there's all this liberty. There's all this freedom that comes along with being an
sure.
adult. This is the good stuff. And I think as parents, it's probably incumbent upon us to remind them, you know, like, hey, there's a lot of really great things about being an adult too, but is there responsibility? Absolutely. Are you being held to a different standard of truth and you know, just accountability? For sure.
Ryan Lochte.
Yeah.
I mean,
Lochte,
that's
man.
What I'm saying.
Yep.
The consequences are bigger now.
Yep.
With
no doubt.
Great power comes great responsibility. You know who said that? Spider-Man.
Is that right?
Yep. Spider-Man
well, there you go.
Said that, and
he
was right.
A lot of pithy, great quotes.
Yes.
Although we were talking about Howard Johnson's and the lack thereof earlier, and it does bring you back to a time when you were a kid where decisions aren't so serious.
Sure.
It
yeah.
is tough to grow up, but I feel like our generation, I couldn't wait to get my license. I couldn't wait to be 21 so I could drink legally. I couldn't wait for all these things. And I'm seeing these kids are more resistant to it.
They are. I think we had the luxury of being a little more naive. We didn't have so much media in our face.
Yeah.
We didn't know what the risks were, so we were willing to take them, you know? And by and large, things worked out. Kids now are a little more cautious, and they realize, oh boy, everything I say is a little more public. There's a little more in the way of repercussions. There's social media out there.
Right.
I can be captured at any moment, and it can be just spread to anybody, anywhere. And we just didn't have that risk.
So there's good to that, and there's bad to that.
Absolutely.
Isn't there?
As with anything, really.
I guess so.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and the good for kids is that they can stay in so much contact with one another, and you know, and that's really great, especially for kids who are a little more shy. The bad is that the risks run pretty high, especially socially.
Oh, yeah. They would have to.
Yeah.
Dr. John Duffy is here. DrJohnDuffy.com is his website. We're going to talk about back to school and how that affects your kids and you next. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Dr. John Duffy in the studio, a clinical psychologist, author of a wonderful book called The Available Parent, and does some podcasts, which you can find at WGNplus.com and also on his website, DrJohnDuffy.com. I have to tell you, pretty excited for both kids to be back at school because you need to get a routine going again.
Absolutely. Most kids I know are ready.
Bill blasted me on this yesterday.
I hear that all the time, and I can only speak for myself, but when I was a kid, I was never ready to go back to school. I love school, but if summer vacation magically became another 3 months, I'd be fine with that.
You know, I think I would have felt that way as a kid, too. Kids today, maybe it's because there's a lot of screens involved, and you know they're just not out of the house for 12 hours or something like that.
Maybe.
I think they just get a little bored and restless, and they're ready to go back.
And young, I got to be honest with you, my kids, whole social life involves school.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have a ton of friends that they hang with on a regular basis. They have a few, but getting back to school, it's the whole social atmosphere again.
I think it's just being around peers and a lot of them every single day that kind of centers them in a way that they are not centered in the middle of August.
Right.
Yeah.
To some extent, even though a lot of us say that we're against structure,
right,
when it comes right down to it, we kind of enjoy the structure.
We need some of it,
yeah,
right? I mean, you know, it kind of anchors us. So if we want to do something a little further afield, we at least have the structure to hold us, you know, centered so we don't feel kind of unglued.
Yeah, and, I can see that.
Yeah, it's really important for
sure.
kids. Yeah.
So are there certain guidelines? Are there certain things we should do to get our house ready for back to school?
Definitely. Here's a couple ideas. And I always encourage parents and families to take advantage of transitions, right? So this is a natural transition. Almost every family in America with kids is going through it right now. So I encourage parents to kind of start setting regular bedtimes, regular wake-up times, homework times. Like, let's protect a certain amount of time and the whole house will be quiet for that hour and a half when everybody's doing homework, you know, to kind of really set some new rules and to be clear as parents about what my role is, what our role is. So we're not going to be the ones who call the teachers or call the school if you're running late. You're going to handle more and more and more of the tasks with the idea in mind that our goal as parents is competence and resilience.
Yeah.
So if you're in a habit of kind of doing a lot for your kid. Okay, I'll call the coach because it seems like he's not being very nice to you, or I'll see if I can handle this bullying situation. The more you let your kid do, starting now, this school year, the more competent and resilient they'll come out. And that's more important to me than grades or, you know, anything that lands on a transcript, because
right.
that'll set them up for success going forward.
I went to a college application night last night. They do it for the parents today, and then Thursday the kids do it at their high school, getting ready for college, all this stuff. And the first thing the woman said that was talking was, I know you want to help your kids do the applications, and that's okay to help them, but definitely let them do it. She said, there have been very many times I will bring something up to a student, like, well, what it says here on your application, and he goes, I couldn't even tell you, my mom did it.
Absolutely. Happens all the time. And this happens not just with college applications, but with English papers, with math homework, you know. Oh, it's getting late. I'll go ahead and do that for you. And the less of that you do, and it's hard to convince parents because they want their kids to feel successful. But kids are smart. They know, like, if they ace that math class, but mom or dad did the homework, they know that's not their A. They know that somebody else earned that for them. So let them feel the consequence when things don't go well. And when they do, you know, that the other flip side is oftentimes things go well and they get to feel like the success of earning that.
Don't you kind of have to find some sort of happy medium, though? Both my wife and I have helped our daughters with their homework. So at some point, you have to figure out what the difference is between helping and just straight out doing it for them, you know?
Great point. Yeah, I think, you know, if we kind of depict ourselves as consultants instead of doers, it's like, okay, well, what's your idea? What do you think? And then kind of draw it out of them. And if you help them a little bit, I think that's fine, as long as you know, like, you're establishing some degree of confidence in them.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You don't know how many nights I have spent going, do your homework. Yeah, I'll get to it. Do your homework. I must say it 20 times a night. There came a point last year where I said, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. They know what they have to do. They can sink or swim on their own. And Michael had his best year.
Right.
And Dylan surprised me and did his homework as well.
Right.
It's like, you know, and Jim and I would sit there and commiserate and said, it was so like our parents. We'd be like, we went to school. We did our homework. Mm-hmm. We don't need to help you. But at some point, you do have to just go, you know what? If you're going to get a D, that's your business. You got to get it up to a B on your own.
And this is the time to get the D and to feel that pinch so you realize, okay, I don't want to feel that again. So next semester, I'm going to be on it. I'm going to set a time. I'm going to do that homework. I'm going to consult mom and dad as I need them.
Yeah. How do you determine, John? I know for some kids, when I was growing up, my best friend, for instance, as soon as he got home from school, that was homework time, and he couldn't go out and play until his homework was done.
Right.
At our house, it was the last thing we did before we went to bed, you know?
Yeah.
So how do you determine what is the best way and time?
Different things seem to work for different families. I favor earlier the better, you know, because I think once you – because there's so many distractions in houses now. Once you start looking online, once you're on, you know, Instagram – the idea of getting to homework becomes so unappealing to kids that it's just going to get put off and put off and put off. So I love an after school activity of some kind. But as soon as that's over and maybe as soon as dinner's eaten, my bias is to get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think the longer you put it off, the more openings you have for excuses not to do it.
I would imagine you're going to suggest that the TV be turned off during homework and maybe the radio as well.
You know me well, Bill.
Yeah. I know. We always had the TV on when I was doing homework. And in retrospect, like when I told my wife that when I was a kid, we had the TV on, we'd watch TV during homework. She'd go, how did you graduate? How'd you get through classes that way? But it worked for me.
My son, Michael, listens to music while he does homework all the time.
The music thing is kind of interesting because I do find that some kids really can function really well listening to music. And to my surprise, even music with lyrics, like, you know, like some kids early on, you know, years ago when they had their first iPods were telling me, oh, I can listen to music without lyrics. Oh. Now kids are telling me, like, I can listen to rap music and focus. And
wow.
I believe them. You know, they function really well. So my bias is if they're really talking about a tool that helps them cope through homework, I wouldn't take that away necessarily.
Yeah.
Even if it feels like, boy, we never did that. We never needed that.
Yeah.
Some people use it in the workplace now.
What happens if a teacher sends a note back saying, hey, I've had your kid in class for a little while. She's not handing in her homework assignments. What's the easiest way to explain to them that that's a part of school that you need to work harder on?
Yeah. I think you want to sit your child down and tell them, okay, I heard from your teacher. This is what I heard. This is not my job. This is your job. But if you need any help, let me know and I'll help facilitate that. But this is really mostly on you. I'll consult and I'll guide and I'll be your ally in this. But this is your job, not my job.
Right.
And kids often, just so you guys keep this in mind, they rise to this occasion. You know,
they
tend to. You know, more so than I'm going to do this for you because I don't know if you're capable of it.
Right.
You know, because they'll sense that show of no confidence.
It's
real apparent.
Sure.
And I saw this out of Fort Worth, Texas. A teacher's note to parents is going viral after it was introduced. A student-friendly approach to homework. In a nutshell, it was a letter that went home saying, dear parents, after much research this summer, I'm trying something new. Homework will only consist of work that your student didn't finish during the school day. There will be no formally assigned homework this year. That's not a bad idea.
You know, I love that idea. You know, there's some really good research. I hope there aren't too many kids listening because there's a lot of homework being assigned. But there's some really good research that suggests that more than about 10 minutes of homework per subject a night, just review, is not that useful.
Really
doesn't help them retain a whole lot and is just busy work.
We have this on tape, Kevin. Is this on tape? Yeah. All right, good.
You either know it or you don't in some points.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. But the kids who are doing, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours of homework, you know, there's so little balance in their lives that often they'll get to college and things will go haywire for them. So I so far prefer balance. So I tend to agree with this teacher.
He's Dr. John Duffy, and you can listen to his podcast, WGNRadio.com. If people want to get in touch with you, questions, or perhaps book an appointment, how do they reach you?
You can reach me at, you can email me at johngduffy@drjohnduffy.com, or follow me on Facebook at Dr. John Duffy.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, it's Bill, it's Wendy, and we've got more stuff coming up.